Hello again, it's me, Anya Karabowska from Polka Languages. So today, I'll be talking about grammar, but not only about grammar. This episode is dedicated to Kasia Truszkowska. Kasia, thank you so much, because our conversation has sparked a light in my head, and hence this episode. So, grammar or not grammar? Today I read a post on LinkedIn, which I found quite intriguing and very interesting, and it says that teachers love teaching grammar, but students don't like grammar because they don't understand, because it's illogical. I'd say the biggest fallacy that is being perpetuated in the ELT is that grammar doesn't make any sense. It is logical. Grammar is logical. Spelling is logical. Language, as such, is a logical creature, if I may say so. Languages are logical. English is logical. We might not get the logic the first time, but we can't say it's not logical. But what about the dyslexic learners? Kasia mentioned a very important point when she said that people don't like writing because they haven't been taught grammar, they haven't been taught how to read. So when we talk about reading, we talk about comprehension strategies, doing this and that, but we are not talking about teaching reading explicitly. And whether we like it or not, reading and grammar and writing, they are interwoven. They are interconnected. So by saying they are interconnected, what I mean is that you cannot write if you don't know the grammar. You can't write a paragraph if your grammar is floppy, because you'll be writing run-on sentences and sentence fragments. So grammar is crucial. Grammar is the backbone. Grammar is the backbone of your language. Vocabulary, I can say vocabulary might be referred to muscles, and writing would be your bloodstream, right? And phonology and spelling is your skin. So all in all, it creates a wonderful human, but you cannot walk if you don't have your skeletal system, right? You can't walk without your backbone. So grammar is crucial. However, I do agree that it's not that we do not know, it's just we approach it in a different way. And I understand that the system is to blame. We have to rush. We often don't have a lot of time. We have to hurry up because there is an assessment or an exam, and we don't have the capacity to focus on grammar. And especially with dyslexic students, we need those foundations. So when our students have the foundations, then they can move on. And if we think about grammar and writing, grammar is a part of the writing system. They are interlocked together. But if we think about grammar is also decoding, which is sounding out words. Grammar is spelling, which is orthography. Grammar is vocabulary. Grammar is syntax. Grammar is morphology. Grammar is etymology. Grammar is working memory. You have all of these elements, that come together and create grammar. And when you have grammar, you have writing. Because again, if you can't write, it means that probably, or not probably, I'll bet on it, that you have problems with your grammar awareness. And grammar awareness is the ability to understand the structures, both in the spoken form and in writing. Writing an essay, writing a paragraph, writing a sentence. You have to understand the structure of a sentence. You have to understand the parts of a speech in a sentence. You have to manipulate. You have to manipulate grammar structures. Because if you can't do it, right? If you can't do it, then obviously you will not be able to move on. So what can you do to help your student be a better writer? Specifically to neurodivergent students, because that's my specialty and that's my jazz. Yeah, I love working with teachers and I love teaching how to work with neurodivergent students, and I have been working with them for more than 20 years. So Daniel Willingham once said that he's shocked when he hears that every child learns differently, because they don't. Scientists can make generalizations about the mechanism across people. If every child learned differently, experience would be meaningless, because a teacher would be a novice with each and every child, right? So, going back to my point, how to teach writing, how to teach grammar, how to interleave it. So compare it, contrast, and come back to it. How to interleave it, how to contrast it, how to introduce it. If your student hates writing, and he hates grammar, or she hates grammar, or they hate grammar, and unfortunately, grammar has such a bad rap. So let me give you a couple of ideas that you might start implementing from the get-go. So the first idea would be examining the foundations, going back to the basics. And I know people say, oh, come on, I'm sick and tired of you telling us to go to the basics. But think about that. If you work with a child who cannot multiply, you will not teach them fractions. You will not teach them division. You will go back to addition, right? If your child, or any child, student, cannot add, you will go back to counting, then practice addition. You have to build up on those skills. You have to build up on those skills, because otherwise, there will be something missing. If you think about learning to drive a car, you will not go on the highway right from the get-go. You have to practice. And the same is with grammar. So first thing, go back, examine the basics. If you have an access to L1 teacher, this is your gem, hold on to it. Check how the students understand and how's the semantic and syntactic grammar awareness in general in L1. Because if they are struggle with grammar in L1, they will struggle with grammar in L2. Secondly, let's imagine that your student has the basics. Start with simple exercise, subject, verb, object. This is it. Start from the very basic sentences. Do not go into subordinate, superordinate clause. No, just start with the basic sentence. Another idea, let's say your student can write a simple sentence and you don't know how to expand it because they say, I have no idea, I didn't do anything yesterday, stop asking me. So use a sentence that I called a band expansion, like you have a band, elastic band, and you expand it. And you, for example, start with a sentence, I like apples. And you start with fanboy, so you add and, I like apples and. I like apples and I like bananas. Okay, so I like apples and I like bananas, but I also like kiwis. You can play with it, and it's really, as funny as it may sound, you can play with that very simple sentence so that your student just has that grasp and they're not thinking like, oh my goodness, what did I do yesterday? Why am I referring to that? Because when you start asking your student, especially a student who's neurodivergent, dyslexic, ADHD, very complex questions. Imagine this, your working memory can accommodate 5 items. Students who are dyslexic, they have problems with working memory, which means they more or less can hold 2 or 3 item stops. And then imagine you ask your student, what did you do yesterday? And it involves so many elements because they don't have the automaticity yet, right? So many elements. It's like, what did I do? What tense? What verb? How should I phrase myself? What vocabulary to use? How do I make that sentence? Did I do anything yesterday? Did I do? Did I talk to my friend? Did I eat lunch? So many questions. It involves at least 8 items per 1 question. And your students will get lost and they will get discouraged and they'll say, I have no idea. Leave me alone. I don't know. So instead of that, start with the sentence expansion. Then, what you can do, and I'm a huge, huge fan of sentence diagramming. I must say that in my professional practice, and I have been working with neurodivergent students for more than 20 years, I have been working with the teachers for almost 20 years. So I can refer to repository of my professional experience. Using sentence diagramming gives you a visual explanation of how the sentence works. It can be encapsulated in the writing. Choose sentence diagramming. Be very specific. If your student, again, is writing, but they are struggling with writing per se, the handwriting is really sloppy. Look at the word formation, whether this is an aspect that you should be working on. If this is okay, work on automaticity. So cursive is beautiful, but start with simplified print because that will get them there. And please rinse and repeat. I know I keep saying that teaching a student is a little bit like doing your laundry. You see, sometimes you have to rinse, the washing machine rinses and then repeats the process. And this is what you have to do. You have to rinse and repeat, just like a washing machine. When you finish, let's say, unit 1, it does not mean that it's finished, done deal, it's closed, and you just move on to another topic. You move on and then you have to go back. You have to go back. You have to repeat, interleave, retrieve, and move on. You can't, it's not like a book that you close and you choose another book and you just start reading. You have to come back. You have to work on what has been done before. You have to reiterate. it's a little bit like dancing. Two steps forward, one step back, and again, right? So this is the automaticity. And this is it. This was grammar and writing encapsulated in my episode. If you have any questions, please shoot me an email. The email will be linked in my episode description. It would mean a world to me if you shared this episode with your friends. I want to get to as many people as possible because I know that there is a lot of fluff and a lot of noise in the ELT, and it's high time we changed it. If you're interested in teaching grammar and spelling and writing to dyslexic students, I will be running one workshop in July, I think. However, keep your eyes peeled and I'll be talking about it soon. And talk to you in the next episode. Bye.